Today's presenter is Michael Patton. Michael's a team lead, a Western message broker, level 2 defect support. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Michael.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. My name is Michael Patton. I am the team lead for WebSphere Message Broker Level 2 support here in Central North Carolina, presenting on using, publish, and subscribe with WebSphere Message Broker. Get right into it, if we will. The WebSphere Message Broker integration event broker is IBM's PubSub platform of choice. It facilitates the design and creation of flexible, extensible, and secure infrastructures across multiple platforms that make best use of existing applications. It distributes information from multiple sources through a central broker to provide integration across an entire enterprise. WebSphere Business Integration Event Broker can also send and receive data using a variety of protocols, including WebSphere MQ, WebSphere MQ Real-Time Telemetry, Mobile, which is WebSphere MQ Every Place, and multicast endpoints. Incoming data is separated from its transport within the broker, so the incoming protocol does not bear any influence on the outgoing protocol, known as stream crossing. And this all together builds huge flexibility into the PubSub paradigm. Slide 2, please. Just our objectives, what we're doing here. I'm going to start my presentation by going over how does PubSub work. Then I'm going to discuss a little bit about how to configure it. And finally, as with most things I'm sure a lot of folks have experienced, how do we fix it when we don't quite get it right the first time? Slide 3, please. In a publish and subscribe system, the publisher does not need to know who uses the information, which is the publication message that it provides. And a subscriber does not need to know who is providing that information that it receives as a result of the subscription. If we were to compare this with a point-to-point style of messaging, in which the application that sends the message needs to know the destination of the message that it sends, message brokers make sure that the messages arrive at the correct destinations and are transformed into the format required at each destination. I've got a little figure here. This figure is showing the simplest way that we can look at for a publish and subscribe application. There's one publisher, he is on the left, one broker, which is right in the middle, and a subscription and a subscriber, which is way there on the right. Publications are sent to the broker, and a subscriber registers with the broker his interest in subscriptions. And then the broker will take the information from the publisher based upon a topic and submit it to the subscriber, adding a kind of a layer in between so that the publisher and the subscriber do not see each other. Next page, please. I'm going to start with the basics of networking. Are we on slide 4? There we go. Slide 4. Okay, starting with the basics of networking, very briefly, we have our transport layers. We have IP, UDP, and TCP/IP. IP just being the lowest level of basic networking. We have IP version 4, which is what most of the people in the world use, which is 32-bit, has a maximum address of 32 bits. And then we also have IP version 6, which has a maximum address of 128 bits. We also have UDP/IDP, which is data is broken into packets for transmission, but there's no support for error detection. We also have TCP/IP, which is the data is broken into packets and transmitted with acknowledgement and support for error detection. And that is just the basics of TCP/IP. Moving on over to the right side, we'll see that we also have unicast, which, if we go backwards, and where I was talking about the point-to-point application, unicast is point-to-point, where we have a defined sender and a defined recipient. Moving up, we also have anycast and broadcast. Anycast and broadcast essentially are stating that message is sent out. And finally, we have multicast. Multicast is IP multicasting, which has been officially supported since IP4, but has not really seen any widespread use over the year. It is a standard part of IP version 6. And the only reason I'm really mentioning anything about multicast and all these transports is I wanted to give just an overview before we came into a broker domain. If we were just looking at messaging transports, we could say unicast would be your point-to-point application, and our multicast could compare by a stretch, but it could compare to actual publish and subscribe. Moving on to slide 5, please. How does this all fit together? Well, let's start with publish and subscribe. I want to first remind everybody that publishers are unaware of subscribers. This is the key concept of PubSub. Publishing is done by topic. And if we were to look at some topics, we can see that topics are hierarchical. We can subscribe on multiple topics, and we can also subscribe with wildcards, which is an enhanced version of being able to subscribe on multiple topics. However, we do have to publish on a single topic. Using what we have here, we can see that publish and subscribe, a single application is sending a message out to the broker, like I just described a little bit before. I want to also stress that the broker maps the topics and the publisher that is sending out and creates what is known as a destination list. If folks familiar with MQ series and creating destination lists, that's exactly what the message broker is doing. It is creating a destination list to get all its messages off to the subscriber. I'll go into more details on how that is done a little bit later in the presentation. Just for a little bit of comparison's sake, we're going to look at the WebSphere MQ broker, just so we have a kind of a basis of comparison. The WebSphere MQ broker process is run with the RunMQ BRK process. RunMQ BRK is a process that runs independently from the queue manager, and the subscriptions are handled by way of topic stream queues. Some basic concepts of MQ series PubSub are that MQ PubSub predates Message Broker PubSub, and it is still available with MQ series. But the key point is it is a separate process that needs to be started separately from MQ series, since it is not defaultly started when the queue manager is started. RunMQ BRK is a command to start the broker. However, this presentation really is not meant to go over WebSphere MQ broker. It is more to go over the WebSphere message broker. So what's so special about the WebSphere message broker? Well, the main process for message broker is that it uses the process called a dynamic subscription engine. And this dynamic subscription engine is started automatically with a data flow engine. Subscribers are persisted in the broker database as opposed to on queues. And the two main tables that I will address a little bit later are the B subscriptions and the B client users table. The message flow has a publish node, which is the message broker's main method of publishing a message. And just like with MQ series, we do use the MQ RFH2 folder. Now, why would this be superior to MQ? Why would Message Broker be superior to WebSphere MQ brokers? Very simple. WebSphere Message Broker allows for greater manipulation of messages while in the broker. You have the full functionality and capabilities of using the Message Broker, like transforming messages, changing messages, splitting messages apart, adding context, adding data to a message that you just can't do using a WebSphere MQ broker. So it adds on to what MQ broker has to do, but it's using its own processes to do it. All the usual reasons that somebody would want to use a message broker would apply to why you would want to use a WebSphere message broker over WebSphere MQ broker. The WebSphere message broker PubSub also allows for content filtering to determine a subscription destination list. Content filtering means that we can look inside the message body to help determine which subscriber is going to get which message. We also have access control on topics, not just the stream. WebSphere Message Broker uses the MQRFH2 header just like on WebSphere MQ PubSub. Again, I'll present more details on that later. Slide 6, please. The username server. The username server is providing authentication of users and groups, and it allows for topic-based security via ACLs and topic trees. username server interfaces with the operating security API to obtain system ACLs for users and groups, and uses that security data to allow or deny users access to topics for either publishing or subscribing. The username server can interface not only with the operating system security API, but we can also interface with a password file. This is for if you want specific users to be able to access topics in PubSub where that ID may or may not, where that ID may not be part of the operating system security API. Now, what does the username server mean? Well, what it means is that if you have applications that use publish and subscribe services of a broker, you can apply additional level of security to topics on which messages are published and which messages can be subscribed to. This additional security is called topic-based security. The username server essentially provides administrative control over who can publish and who can subscribe. And that's just to use a username server. You just install, create, and use a username server. I'll get a little bit more in details on create, on setting that up a little bit later. Slide 7, please. So what happens when you submit a message to the broker to register for a subscription? You simply put a message to a queue, to the system.broker.control queue. Lost my computer again. You simply put a message to the system broker control queue with the correct data in the MQRFH2 folder. The default pub sub flow, which is an internal flow to the message broker, will first read this MQRFH2 TFC folder of the message and will look for the command. Now, in a case where we're trying to register subscriber command, we're going to be looking for a reg sub command, and then we'll check for a topic and a subscription queue. It will then verify that the subscription queue exists and then update the durable subscription table, which is the B subscription table and the B client user tables. After it updates those tables, then it will submit a message if you've asked it to. It will submit a message as a reply for the results of that command. This is only if you have set up the MQMD message type to be a type request and set up the MQMD message reply to queue in order for the message to be presented. This is useful for being able to determine if there was an error on the registration command or a publication command. For example, if we were to get some type of message that says 3081, we could simply use the MQRC command to figure out what that means. And MQRC 3081 essentially means that you're not authorized. Username server has denied your request. So now that we have a subscriber on a topic, what do we do when we want to, how do we figure out about using WebSphere Message Broker to publish a message on that topic? Slide 8, please. Very simple. You create a flow. You create a flow within WebSphere Message Broker, and this flow has a publish node. And the publish node is going to take all the information that it has. It's going to look at the MQRFH2 header, get the information, get the topic. Then it's going to build a destination list based upon those topics, and it's going to find the topics that subscribers want out of the B subscriptions table. At which point the destination list is created, WebSphere Message Broker will put a message to all the destinations. And one thing I do really need to stress on this is that if you publish a message that does not have any registered subscribers to it, the publication is still considered successful. You just published something and nobody wanted to read it. That's all. Okay, if we can move on to slide 9. We just went over how to subscribe, or what happens when you subscribe, and what happens when you're publishing a message. If we could, slide 9, we're going to talk about clone brokers. A clone broker is a broker in which you have defined one or more duplicates. And I lost my connection, so I can't see the slides on the screen anymore. A clone broker is a broker for which you have to find one or more duplicates. Essentially what happens here is the subscription table of a clone broker is replicated to all other brokers with which it is cloned. When a subscriber requests a subscription from a clone broker, the subscription is also sent to all of the clones of that broker. We can certainly use clone brokers to improve the availability of your publish and subscribe system. And by defining clone brokers on different computers, you make sure that publications are delivered to your subscribers even when one of the computers is unavailable. The diagram that I have here is going to show that we have two brokers here. It's going to show what happens when subscriber 1 sends a subscription to broker 1, but broker 1 becomes unavailable because broker 1 and broker 2 have been defined as clones. The subscription is redirected to broker 2, and subscriber 1 gets publication from broker 2 instead of broker 1. We certainly have to think address for just a minute here. We have some benefits for using a clone broker, and these are, I've highlighted them here, the benefits of a clone broker is they are highly available, they are redundant, and any broker can publish to any subscriber. But as with most things, big print take giveth, the small print taketh away, there are limitations. If you want to have a clone broker, you are required to use WebSphere MQ as a transport. Can't use real-time, can't use multicast, and you certainly don't want to have clones and collectives in the same domain. The reason why you don't want to mix them is you could potentially end up with having multiple subscriptions to the same subscriber, meaning a subscriber can get two copies of the same message. Slide 10, please. So now that we've looked at clones, let's take a look at collectives real quickly. A collective is a set of brokers that are fully interconnected and form part of a multi-broker network for publish and subscribe applications. Some of the following benefits of having a collective is that the messages are destined for specific brokers in the same collectives are transported directly to that broker and do not need to pass through any intermediate brokers. This is improving performance and optimizes the inter-broker publish and subscribe traffic. And in comparison, if your clients are geographically dispersed, you can set up a collective in each location and then connect the collectives by joining a single broker to each collective to optimize the flows back and forth. You can also group clients according to the shared topics that they publish and to which they subscribe. Clients that share common topics can connect to brokers within a collective, and the common publications are transported effectively within the collective because they pass through only brokers that have at least one client with an interest to those common topics. A client can also connect to the nearest broker to prove its own performance. The broker receives all messages that match the subscription registration of the client from all brokers within the collective, and the performance of a client application is also improved for other services that are requested from this broker or from this broker's queue manager. A client application can use both pub/sub and point-to-point messaging. The number of clients per broker can be reduced by adding more brokers to the collective to share the workload within a collective. Essentially what this is meaning, if you have somebody sitting on one, if you have a broker in New York City and another broker in Los Angeles, and they're both in the same collective, if you publish them, if you have 100 subscribers in New York and 100 subscribers in Los Angeles, the two brokers will be connected in the collective, and then only one message is sent from New York to Los Angeles, and then Los Angeles will republish that message to all the 100 subscribers out there. So there's only one message making the transcontinental journey. Slide 11, please. We have looked at using MQ series as a method to transport messages to and from a pub/sub domain. Let's turn our attention now to using Java messaging. In JMS, you can either use WebSphere MQ or WebSphere Message Broker as a pub/sub engine. In either case, you will need to define the JNDI for each one. In the JNDI, we will be expected to see things such as a topic connection factory, topics, consumers, and consumers and producers. You use the JNDI normally, just as you would with a WebSphere message queuing or WebSphere MQ. You use the JNDI normally to administer topics and the topic connection factories. Now, if you are using the WebSphere MQ broker, then the WebSphere message broker flows are simply subscribers via JMS nodes or publishers via publish nodes. This is considered to be a version 1 broker. This is also the default setting whenever you create these objects using the JMS classes. On the other hand, you could certainly use the WebSphere message broker. Then the JND objects are feeding the queues directly for the broker's internal PubSub engine. This is considered to be a version 2 broker and must be changed when you're creating your objects in the JNDI. I'll show a little bit more details on that a little bit later. Slide 12, please. You can use either JMS 1.0 or JMS 1.1. In either case, you will need to ensure that your brokers are defined correctly, your broker versions are defined correctly, whether or not you use WebSphere Message Broker or WebSphere MQ Broker. This is just a little shot to show you all the things that you need within the JNDI, like your topic connection factory, your topics, consumers, and your producers, various ways that you want to look at it, but you will always need a connection factory in order to get to the broker, and you will need consumers and producers. Slide 13. Of course, if we have JMS, we can certainly also have JMS real-time. To use JMS real-time, we are required to use WebSphere Message Broker as a PubSub engine. WebSphere MQ does not support JMS real-time for publish and subscribe. What real-time means is that the Java application is going to correct directly to the JMS real-time node via TCP/IP, thus eliminating the JNDI layer and the WebSphere MQ layer. It connects straight in through a port, and we run with it. We can use PubSub with JMS real-time by using the JMS real-time input node, and then we can connect that, do anything we want to it, just as we had a WebSphere message broker flow, and pass that right out to a publish node. Now, in the cases where you just want to use JMS real-time for routing and you don't want to change anything about the message, we have the real-time optimized flow. That's just one node, and that's the only flow that we have that could have one node in it. And this node simply combines real-time node and the publish node together. Slide 14, please. So how do we configure all this stuff? This would be part two of what I was talking about. How do we configure about all of this? Well, essentially, we just have to, with WebSphere MQ, or WebSphere Message Broker, I'm sorry, with WebSphere Message Broker, all we have to do is create a broker, and we automatically have all our publish and subscribe properties. So we just create a normal WebSphere Message Broker or event broker, if you only purchase the event broker. I'm going to make a note here, the event broker is a subset of the message broker. Then you have your users create subscriptions or register subscriptions by sending messages to the system broker control queue with the requisite MQRFH2 TSC data into it, and that will register your subscribers. And then if you want to publish your message, you just simply create a flow with your published node in it, submit a message to the input node of that flow with the requisite MQRFH2 TSC data, and the message flow and the message broker will take care of the publications for you. The event broker, which is the component of the message broker that runs PubSub, is automatically configured when the broker itself is created. Simply meaning, just create a broker and you've got your PubSub engine. Slide 15, please. What I have here, I've mentioned many times about the MQRFH2 headers with the PSC folder in it. What I have here are two samples of what that header ought to look like. I just put the PSC folder in here, which PSC is going to be an immediate child of MQRFH2. So if you think about using ESQL, it will be accessed using MQRFH2.TSC. You'll see here on the very first one where I'm registering a subscriber, I've got the command in there, regsub. I put a couple options in there just to show that we can put some registration options in there, like the registration option, publish on request only. It's telling us that, okay, I just want to be able to give me any publications when I ask for them. Don't give them to me whenever they come through, but only when I ask for them. And you also have a registration option of correlation ideas, Carl as ID, which is going to take part of the correlation ID of the request message and put that as a client ID in the broker database table. Now, when we're doing a registration subscription, the pieces that we need are the command, the topic, and the destination or the queue name. We can also have a queue manager name, but I'm just made for simplicity's sake, I just put a queue name in here. In here, we have the command regsub. We have a topic, and if anybody's ever taken a look at the IDP programs or the sample programs that are supplied with Message Broker, we're going back to soccer. I just put that in there so that you could kind of have some continuity between them all. And we have a queue name that we're going to put all our messages to, and that is the soccer.out queue. This is the register subscription command. If we wanted to publish a command, if we wanted to publish a message, the command would be publish. We can put pub options in there. You'll notice I put in there pub opt of local. What that means is that the publication will not go to any other brokers. That is useful when using collectives. We also have topic. We also have to have a topic. You notice on the register subscription, I had a wild card in there, sports/soccer/state/the pound sign. That means I want to know this, get a message on anything that starts with sports/soccer/state, and then anything beyond that, I want a topic. When you're publishing, however, you must have one topic and one topic only. And that, what I have here is sports/soccer/state/NC State. I'm in North Carolina, so I just put NC State in there. Slide 16, please. Here's a table showing all the possible MQRFH2PSC folder commands and options that are available with them. There are a total of 5 commands that you can give. We have a register subscription, a deregister subscription command, a publish command, a delete publication command, and a request update command. These are all the commands, and I've tried to make this table to show exactly how what pieces you need when and are available to you, what pieces are available to you when you're using one of the commands. You also notice that the second yellow line down has options on it. These options certainly correspond to the command that you're going to use. So, for example, if you have a register subscription, you would not want to give it any pub ops. Pub ops would not work. You would need a reg opt for it. And you have all those different properties that you can put in there as an option, like local, new publications only, publish on request only, et cetera, et cetera. This table is useful for being able to just build your application message so that you get the right kind of commands and you can match up the right types of options with it. Slide 18, please. So how do I configure it? Security. Did I go too far? Back up, please. Okay, one more slide. There we go. How do I configure it? Security. Okay, we discussed earlier the username server. And if you wish to create one, just simply create one using the MQSI create username server command. The IP that you're using to create this username server must be in the MQBRKRS group. What this is going to do, well, once you create the username server, you also have to tell the brokers to use the server. You do this by using the MQSI change broker command. In order to do that, what we'll need for that is the MQSI change broker command. Then you're going to give it the name of the broker, then -S, then the name of the username server's queue manager, -J. The -S is going to tell us where the username server is or what queue manager it's on, and -J is going to tell the broker we are going to use it. We'll also need to create channels between the broker's queue manager and the username server's queue manager. I have found it quite useful if you're going to put a username server in your domain that you put the username server at the same location on the same queue manager as the configuration manager because you already have channels created. You have to have the channels created to go from a config manager to the broker. We can reuse those channels at the same time. That way you won't have channels going every which direction. That's just my suggestion, something I found that has made it easier for me. The MQSI create username server command, which points by default to the operating system security domain to get its information about users and security, users and password information from, it can also point to a flat file. And it gets the information for the flat file with a -G option. Dash G option is essentially used so that we can go get information about user IDs and passwords. By default, that password file is going to be expected to be found in the home directory. If you store that file in a different location, you have to specify the full path location with the file name as part of the dash G parameter. Some things to note about the username server. Any principal can access any undefined topic. When I say principal, I'm meaning any user can access any undefined topic. The options that you have on the topics, you can grant or deny. When you create a topic for the username server, you can grant or deny permissions for users to publish, subscribe, to either publish or subscribe on a particular topic. I have to stress, though, that undefined topics are public. You cannot deny access to a public topic either. To prevent unauthorized topics, if there's a topic out there you don't want anybody to be able to publish on, you actually have to define that topic and then restrict who has permission to access it. You can't just say, okay, nobody can access this broker domain. Nobody can request a publication on this domain because you cannot deny access to a public topic. Screen 18, please. So how do I configure it for security? This is just a screenshot showing us in the toolkit. It's the topics view of the toolkit. Again, I just wanted to make note that you cannot undefine topics, that you cannot deny access to undefined topics. What we have here, if we can take a look at it, you can see I've got my topic, which is in the left, topics. I've defined something called my topic. And the principal guest is being denied access to publish and subscribe to that topic, but my user ID has been granted access to publish and subscribe to that topic. You can separate it out. You can build your entire hierarchy in here. You can grab any users and groups that you want. If the users and groups are part of the OS API or if they're part of that file name system, they will show up as users in the bottom left corner that you can use as a drop-down list to either grant or deny access to topics. Slide 19, please. So how do we configure a clone? We just went over a little bit about security. How do we configure a clone? Well, quite simply, first you have to create a second broker. Create that second broker using the mqsi create broker command, and then we use something called the mqsi change properties command to let each broker know that the other one is going to be a clone of it. The mqsi change broker command is going to take the parameters, the broker name, then you have to give it the dash E, which is the execution group, then you have to give it the master execution group. Then you have to name an object for it with the mqsi change properties command of dynamic subscription engine. Then the named object is the clone pub sub broker list. Then you give it a list of brokers that it is going to be cloned with. And that is a comma separated list, broker name, comma, the queue name. Then you just keep going down following that same order, broker name, comma, queue name. What will happen is you have to do that for every broker that you're trying to clone. So if you have three brokers in there, it's going to be like broker 2, comma, queue manager 2, comma, broker 3, comma, queue manager 3, and you have to repeat that for each and every one of the brokers. At this point, the B client user table and the B subscriptions table will be replicated on each other. So that if, back to where I'd stated earlier in the presentation, that if one broker is down, another one can certainly just pick up the entries and move on. Slide 20, please. We've done a little bit about the clones, how to create the clones. Let's look at how to create the collective, which is even easier to create than the clone. First, you just create the second broker. In this case, I've got a picture here showing a V60 broker and a broker 1. You define a channel pair between them. And then you use the toolkit to graphically connect the brokers in the broker administration perspective. Essentially, what you do is you just highlight the collective, create that red line, and then you connect the brokers to that red line. And any broker that is connected to the big red line is going to be part of the collective. That's pretty much it. Broker B is registered subscriber on every topic to Broker A, and then Broker A turns around and is a registered subscriber to every topic on Broker B. What this allows for, again, is for a single message to be transported from A to B for republishing within A or B. Slide 21, please. Finally, let's take a look at some JMS configurations. First, you must create your JMS queues. Whenever you're going to use JMS with the message broker, you must create the JMS queues. This is the same if you're using WebSphere MQ. We also need JMS queues. MQ Series provides an input file that you can use with run MQSC command to create all those queues. Very simple, you just run MQSC, space the queue manager name, then use the input file of the MQJMS underbar PSQ.MQSC file. That follows the input, and it will create all those queues that are required on the queue manager. You can look at that file on your MQ series, determine all of them, but they all start with system.jms. Again, JMS can either use WebSphere Message Broker or WebSphere MQ Broker for its pub/sub engine. The Topic Connection Factory points defaultly to the system.broker.defaultStream. The MQ input node for the publication flows will get messages from that queue. If you're going to use it this way, you will need separate MQ input nodes for each and every stream. Next slide, please. JMS Real-Time. We're going to configure JMS Real-Time now. Again, JMS Real-Time uses WebSphere Message Broker for its pub/sub application. Very simply, the Java application is connecting directly to the JMS Real-Time input node via TCP/IP. The Java application is sending the messages to a port. However, these messages must still include topic and publish commands, just as if you were using MQ pub/sub. You set the port number on the Real-Time node, or I'm going to just, for comparison, you set the port number on the real-time optimized node because they both take the same type of input. There really is no other configuration from the message broker other than if you're going to use security. The port number within the message flow is all that you need to set these flows up. If you are going to use security, then your code will actually have to have in it the line, which I've put down here on the bottom, factory create topic connection, then you have to put your username and password in there. Security is going to come up right in just a minute. I'll come right back to security in just a minute. But I do want to make note that security is only used to establish connection. Once the connection is authorized, then we're back open to free and clear on having information back and forth. As with SSL, can we move on to the next slide? For SSL with a message broker, I said that you needed username server on the connection factory. Here's where you're going to configure SSL within the message broker itself. We have our authentication settings here. We've got your PMSR settings here, which are our various levels of security that we're going to use. This is just a picture of it. One thing I do need to note with SSL is that we cannot use HTTP tunneling. It is currently not supported with SSL. So, next slide, please. So, how do we configure for multicast? First and foremost, the subscriber must be a JMS client. You can only use multicast with JMS. I wanted to note with the JMS, the more subscribers there are, the greater the improvement of your network utilization. All we really need to do in order to configure for multicast is first change the broker property. The broker property here so that it is checked to show that we do have multicast support. And the second is to edit the topics to show that it is multicast support. Slide 25. We've gone over how to configure WebSphere MQ as the transport for message broker pub/sub. We've also gone over using JMS how to configure JMS for using on WebSphere Message Broker PubSub. Last thing I want to go into is now what happens when it doesn't work. Speaking from a level two perspective, often have to chase down why something's not working within a PubSub domain. The first thing I always like to do when I'm looking to figure out what happened, why didn't it work, is I tell the broker, tell me what went wrong. I get a broker response. That is accomplished by setting the MQMD message type to MQMT request. We also have to set an MQMD reply to queue, and that is any queue that you want it to be. There is no default queue defined for that. That is just a queue that you have to define yourself. The MQRC in the response message will usually give the reason why something happened. If you get an MQRC 0, that means it was successful. If you get anything else, it means you have a problem. And you can look up that code using the MQRC on your command line. For example, earlier I had mentioned we had our 3081 MQRC code, which means the username server has denied you access to a particular topic. You could use any other type. You could get any other type of response code back, and just running that MQ command, it'll give you MQ response code. Second, I take a look at the logs. When the brokers first started, the first thing I look for is the 2201 message. The details of this message will show that a particular execution group has started. And if one of those parameters indicates default execution group is true, then that is the master execution group. And this is the execution group that is handling all the internal publish and subscribe commands, especially all the messages coming across the system broker control queue. We also use this for internal publish and subscribe. Default broker, or the default execution group, is created at creation time, at start time, and is usually named default. The third thing I do, after looking at the logs to make sure that the execution groups are up and running, and the logs will also give me some indication as to why something may have failed, because we may see an abend in there, some other types of logs. If I'm not getting any help out of the logs, then I turn to trace. Now, there are two different kinds of traces that we'll have to take when we're looking at publish and subscribe. If we're having errors registering or doing some type of subscription activity, either registering a subscriber or deregistering a subscriber, we actually would have to trace the internal PubSub control message flow. Again, that is in the master execution group. We can trace, when we run our MQSI change trace command, we give it the -F parameter of PubSub control message flow. Now, then we take a look at the traces from there, just normal processing as if we were tracing any other message flow in the message broker. Finally, if we're looking at the publication failure, we just trace it as a normal flow, because a publication node is a user flow. The publication is a user flow, so that just normal tracing activities will apply. Next slide, please. Finally, we get on to the tables. This is a list of the tables that, when finally all else fails, trace isn't giving me a whole lot of information. Or it is giving me some information, but I need to clarify information. I can look at any one of these broker tables. The main two tables that I look at will be the D-subscriptions table, which is holding all the durable subscription information, and the B-client-user, which is mapping client identifiers to those subscriptions. We can get information about these tables, what is held in these tables, not from SQL commands, but from the MQSI browse command. This command essentially is run with MQSI browse, space the name of the broker, space -T, which stands for table. Then you give it any number one of these tables. It's usually recommended to redirect the output of this command to a file. It makes it a whole lot easier to read, because the files can get quite wide. All kinds of information can be gleaned out of these tables, such as what other brokers are around. Are we a clone? Are we in a collective? All kinds of information can be gleaned out of this and can be used to help determine. And we can match up user IDs. We can match, not user IDs, unique IDs to make sure things are matching up correctly. Often find that sometimes something got out of whack, something got out of synchronization with the configuration manager that might need a little bit of manual intervention. Don't like to do it, but sometimes it happens. Next slide, please. I went over in this presentation how does WebSphere Message Broker PubSub work, how do we configure it, and how do we fix it. At this time, I'd like to open it up for any questions.
Thank you, Michael, for a great presentation.
You're welcome.
And we'll go first to Timothy Allen from IBM.
Oh, hello there. Yeah, I've got a question, and it's to do with what you called topic security. You can secure a topic.
Okay.
And this is kind of security within broker. How does that relate to queue security inside MQ? Does it nest within it? Like, first you've got access to a queue, then you've got access to a topic.
In order to do any publish and subscribe, you obviously need to have access to some of the queues themselves. Specifically, if you're going to register any subscriptions, you're going to need access to the system.broker.control.queue. If you're going to try to publish, you're going to need access to the input queue for the message flow itself. So from that point of view, you would actually need to have access to the queues. However, the topic ACLs are separate. You could say they're an additional layer, because first you need to be able to access the system, and then second, we're going to look to see, does your user ID have permission to publish or register a subscription on a particular topic?
Right. So it's kind of, you've got queue access first of all,
yes.
Then you've got topic access.
Then you can break it down by topic access.
Yeah, that's what you're pointing out. And is that queue access granted to you by broker or by MQ security?
MQ security.
Okay. Is that okay to ask a second question?
That's fine.
Yeah. Second question then is, you know, you described a collective.
Yes.
And you could have a collective in New York and a collective in Seattle, you know.
Okay.
And you may have messaging going on within a collective, which are subscriptions and publications.
Okay.
Then, when the data wishes to go from the, we wish to put the data from, you know, New York to Seattle, instead of having all that transport of all this pub sub and everything that's gone on, it happens with one message between collectives.
Yes.
Does that mean that message is a big message?
No.
Ah.
The one message that is transported across is the published message that was submitted for publication. What happens in a collective, if somebody published a message in New York, the broker itself in Seattle is a registered subscriber, so it would get one message. And then when it receives its message in Seattle, it will then turn around and republish it, is what's happening. So then it's going through the same publications. Now it's taking this, and it's going to build another destination list there and send it out to everybody in Seattle.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay. So that collective is for the purpose of efficiency of transport over networks.
Yes, that is
and
for that network
other thing,
yes.
That other thing which is not called a collective is called a clone. Is
yes.
That for failover and reliability?
Yes.
Oh, I've understood that. Okay. I think that's all the questions I've got time for.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd be here a lot. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other questions?
As a reminder, that is star one if you have a question at this time. And we have no further questions.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation. We hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Michael, for presenting today.
All right, welcome.